The following is a podcast of Thrive, a high school ministry at Victory Family Church. For more details, see thriveatvictory.com.
Health issues. So I love to eat salmon and asparagus. Actually, ate salmon and asparagus before I came here. So if you guys are talking to me, just keep your distance because I probably have fish breath. Another thing that I like to do is checking up on my friends on social media. I like to see what they're doing. I like to see the things that they're exploring and what they're doing and kind of inspirational quotes that they might put up. I like to check on my friends and see how they're doing. Another one is spending time with like-minded people. Here we have a picture of us at Jack Camp. Man, we had a blast at Jack Camp. We saw so many lives changed. 2 weeks ago, we had camp testimony where we had 8 people come up. And we saw 6 of you guys give your hearts to the Lord. And that is incredible. And that's something that we live for. That 6 people decided, I want to take my next step with Jesus. One of my favorite right now is spending time, is exercising and staying fit. Right behind me, you're going to see a picture of my grandmother. But don't judge her because she's 82 years old and she needs some help. And she says this, the only dead I know is deadlifting. She loves to work out. She loves to lift. Man, she's just a fitness guru. But I'm just kidding. That is not my grandma. But reality is, guys, time is ticking. Time is flying by. Time is ticking, and the time is now. And the question that I want to answer tonight and what I kind of want to spend the rest of my time doing is answering this question. What is the best use of my time right now? And I believe the Bible, it's very clear on how we should be spending the majority of our time. But before I go there, I want to tell you about a story of a young couple that just got married. And this husband was having some health issues, so he went to the doctors, and the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong, so they sent him to a specialist. And the specialist, they ran some tests, and the test came back, and the doctor said, man, we have a rare diagnosis. And you know, the doctor said to the wives, because they didn't want to tell the husband right away, they go up to the wife and they say, listen, your husband's going to die. The bad news is your husband's going to die. And the wife looked at them like, my gosh, like, we literally just got married. What do you mean my husband's going to die? And the doctor says, well, there's hope. There's good news, though. But the good news is you're going to have to spend a lot of time with your husband. You're going to have to cook them 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You have to make sure that the house is extremely clean, because if it's not, it can cause some complications with his health. So you're going to have to be at home all the time serving him. So the wife kind of was thinking about it, and she went to the husband, and the husband was very nervous. And the husband said, you know, what did they say? And the wife looked at the husband, and she said, they have bad news. You are gonna die, because I am not gonna do that. I am not gonna make 3 meals for you. I'm not gonna serve you. I'm not gonna take care of cleaning the house. So guess what? You're gonna die. And the husband looked at her like, what the heck? I just married a woman that wants me to die. She doesn't want to take care of me. But guys, that's a kind of a cheesy story. It really is a cheesy story. It's a very cheesy story, but there's some truth behind it. There's some truth behind it, how we see a need, but sometimes we don't want to fill it. We see somebody hurting, but we don't want to help them out. Because we say this, I don't have time for that, or that's beneath me. And if I could be transparent with you guys, I kind of have an attitude when things like that happen to me. I'm like, you're kidding me. You want me to do that? Like, you really want me to spend time helping clean up over here? Don't you know how busy I am? How many of you guys ever have an attitude when it comes to doing something and to serving other people? But Jesus tonight, guys, Jesus is our perfect example of what it looked like to use our time wisely. In John chapter 13, 1 and 2, it says this. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own son who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Everybody say, to the end. Everybody say, to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil have already prompted Judas, the son of Simon, to betray Jesus. See, in this text, we read that Jesus' time is coming here on earth. Like Jesus was about to give his life up for you and me. And Jesus, if you would look at his week, you would say, man, this guy had a pretty difficult week. See, on Monday, he literally went into the temple and he cleansed the temple because everyone was buying and selling. They were jacking up the prices above market value. And he's like, what are you guys doing to my temple? And Jesus was righteously angry and he just tipped over the tables. He was flogging people. He was mad. And then on Tuesday, we see that he got in a huge fight with the religious people, the Pharisees, because they were testing him. And the Pharisees already knew the answer, but he knew that they were testing him. And he's like, you know what? I don't have time for you religious people. Do you know God hates religion? Jesus hates religion. And then on Wednesday, there's no record of what happened. But on Thursday night, he gathered in a secret room with his closest friends. And he was ready to give his last speech, which was the institution of communion. And there was something that happened that night when he was about to give his life up. His disciples came up with this question, and one of his disciples asked, Jesus, which one of us is the greatest? Who is the greatest among you? And then the disciples started to fight, they started to argue, and John stood up and he said, you know what? I think I'm the greatest because I'm the one that he loves. And then Peter's like, no, you're wrong. I'm the greatest because I stepped out of the boat and walked on water while all you guys sat in there. And then they start laughing at Peter and they said, you know what, Peter, you're the one that walked on water, but you sank and Jesus had to rescue you. Then Bartholomew said, what about me? And the disciples literally fell on the ground and they were laughing. They're like, Bartholomew, people aren't even going to know that you are a disciple. And isn't that so true? I have no idea who Bartholomew is. But they asked this question, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And Jesus said this to them in Matthew 23:11. He said, the greatest among you will be your servant. Jesus also stated in Scripture, he says, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom to many. See, he was sitting at the table with his closest friends, about to eat his final meal. And what did Jesus see? He saw two things. He saw a proud heart and dirty feet. He saw proud hearts and dirty feet. And Jesus said to himself, he said this, I think I can do this. I know I can do this. And he did, and this is what he did. He washed the disciples' feet. And some of you guys are probably asking, like, what's so significant about Jesus washing feet? See, the common courtesy of our day is if it's a cold day out and somebody comes over, we take their coat. Or we ask them if they want something to drink. But in Jesus' day, the common courtesy was to give that person a kiss and then to wash their feet. But the host would not wash the guest's feet. They would not wash it because that was underneath them. So what they would do is they would have servants that would come in and they would wash their guest's feet because they thought they were too good for that. They didn't have enough time for that. But we see what Jesus did to his disciples. He says, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to humble myself in my last hours and I'm going to serve you guys. I don't know about you guys, but I have some disgusting feet. Like literally, for 2 years, I could not show my feet to my fiance because I thought if I showed her my feet, she would break up with me. I'm not kidding you. Like, my feet are like 8 feet. And I can't imagine somebody wanting to come wash my feet. And when I'm at my house just relaxing, I usually have my shirt off with some pants on and with no socks on. And the first thing I do when somebody knocks at the door, it isn't put a shirt on. I literally put socks on my feet because my feet are so disgusting. But Jesus literally says, I don't care how disgusting your feet are. I want to serve you. See, at dinner, Jesus saw a proud hearts and dirty feet. And what did Jesus do? It says this in John 13, 3 through 5. He says, so Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus saw a proud heart and dirty feet. And what he did was he got up from his last meal and he served his disciples. We need to find a need and fill it tonight. There's some of you guys tonight that have never served anybody. And God's saying, listen, your next step in life is to start serving. And I'm not talking about serving here at Thrive. I'm talking about serving your friends. I'm talking about serving your parents. I'm talking about serving your community. Find a need and fill it. It was about 2.5 years ago, there was a job opening here, and it wasn't as a youth pastor, it wasn't as a secretary, it wasn't as an assistant, but it was a janitorial position. And I saw this online, and I'm like, man, this thing's been up for 3 months, and it hasn't been filled. But I have to be honest with you guys, as I was processing, applying for the janitorial position, I thought to myself, what is my girlfriend going to think? What are my friends going to think? Are they going to make fun of me because I'm cleaning toilets and I'm cleaning up after everybody's mess? What are people going to think about me? But I had to come to my senses that, man, there's a reason that this position hasn't been filled, because nobody wanted to humble themselves and take this position. So I did that. I did that for about a whole year. And I have to tell you, I thought I was a pretty humble dude until I took that position. And I realized that I was full of pride because I thought I was above that. There might be some of you guys tonight that think you're just above what God's calling you to do. I want to challenge you guys. Tonight is the night to step out. And yes, that's me as a janitor here. That was actually taken 2 days ago. So it's just an illustration for you guys to kind of see. But when you serve with the right heart, it's not about you. We talked last week about your talents. Do you know your talents and your gifts? It's not about you. You're serving. It's not about you. You don't need to be seen. You don't need to be acknowledged. You guys don't need to be repaid. I just want to read a couple testimonies from people here at Thrive, or leaders at Thrive, that say, this is what serving has done to my heart. The first one is Anna. Anna said this, God has used a lot serving to do a lot in my life. Like building strong relationships, he aligned my heart with his. I now love people. I'm reminded that he loves me. However, one of the biggest things that I've seen him use it in is to reveal his specific gifts in my life. There are gifts that he has placed in me that I have no doubt I would ever have found if I have not spent the time serving. And it's so cool because the more I serve in any way that's needed, the more God gives me opportunities to serve in the ways that I'm really passionate about doing and that aligns with the purpose he has revealed to me. The second person is Mike. He said this, serving has shown me what the church body looks like in motion. If I never served, I would never have seen how the unique skills and traits work within the skills and traits of others to advance the gospel. To me, it's beautiful. On top of that, it's the most fun, thrilling time of my life, having come through serving. Lastly, we have Nick. Nick actually serves here. All these three people serve here at Thrive. Nick said this, serving has impacted me because it has helped me to grow as a leader. Spiritually, I'm responsible for my team and making sure that everyone is on a good track with God. And if they have any issues in their lives, I can pray with them and believe their problems will be solved. I've also learned to always be accountable and that when I say something will get done, it needs to get done. These are some examples of what serving can do to your heart. If you want to change your friendships, you need to serve. If you want to make a difference in this world, you need to serve. If you want to find your purpose in life, you need to serve. And if you want to glorify God, you need to serve. See, John 13, verse 1 says this, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. See, Jesus looked around when he was about to give his life up for me and you, and he saw proud hearts and dirty feet. And what did Jesus do? He says, I can do this. This one is mine. He saw a need, he got up, and he filled it. Servants do. And I finish with this last scripture. It says, if we're hearers of the word and not doers, then we're no good. God says that we can't just be hearers of the word, but we have to be doers as well. And tonight you might be in a place where you don't think you're even worthy enough to serve or to make a difference in somebody's life. If I can be honest with you, when I look out into this audience, I see a generation of leaders. I see you guys doing things that no other generation has done. I see a revival coming through your mouths. I see people coming back to Jesus because of your serving. If you guys have a passion and a desire, find that need and fill it. Because Jesus said this, I did not come to serve. I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom. And that is a perfect example of who we need to follow. Because what are you guys going to do with your time? Are you going to use your time to the best? Are you going to use your time and do your own thing? But I want to challenge you guys. Start serving. Start making a difference at your house. Start making a difference in your school. And one way you can do that is through serving. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to open up an invitation to make Jesus the Lord of your life. This is the best decision that I could have ever made. Because when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, literally, there was that void that was filled. And I started to have joy that was could not be measured, couldn't understand how much joy I had. And I want to give you this opportunity tonight to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to simply ask you to raise your hand, and everybody else is going to say this prayer together with you. So if there's somebody here tonight that says, I want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, just raise your hand in the count of three. One, two, three. Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to make Jesus? I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Awesome. I see that hand. You can go ahead and put your hand down. So what I want everybody to do is to repeat after me for those who raised your hands. And let me just tell you, that's the best decision that you can make in your life, because once we leave this earth, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you guys will be spending eternity in heaven with Jesus. So repeat this prayer after me. Dear Father God, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Father God, I thank you that I'm a new creation. Right now, I turn from my past and I run towards you. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, but I'm saved by you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Let's give it up.